Gamma Joba, San Francisco. This is FieldPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from our perch high atop Kobe Avenue in the Presidio. Today is Thursday, the 17th of April, 2014. A ton of stuff happened on this day. In 1397, Geoffrey Chaucer tells the Canterbury Tales for the first time at the court of Richard II. This is also the start of the book's pilgrimage to Canterbury. 1521, the trial of Martin Luther over his teachings begins during the assembly of the Diet of Worms. 1524, Giovanni de Veranzano reaches New York Harbor, the first European to do so. 1790, the coolest founding father and proto-hipster Benjamin Franklin dies. 1815, the biggest and most lethal volcanic eruption in history kills 80,000 in Indonesia. 1907, the Ellis Island Immigration Center processes more people than any other day in its history, 11,747. Many of their descendants are voting for people preventing immigration reform today. 1933, Kote Marginashvili, the well-known theater director, dies. 1949, 26 Irish colonies officially leave the British Commonwealth and form the Republic of Ireland. 1961, the ill-fated Bay of Pigs invasion with Cuba begins. 1964, the Ford Mustang debuts at the World's Fair in New York. 1969, architect of Czechoslovakia's Prague Spring, Alexander Dubček, resigns. 1970, Apollo 13 miraculously returns to Earth. 1971, the People's Republic of Bangladesh comes into existence. 1975, Cambodia falls to the Khmer Rouge. 1978, Mir Akbar Khyber is assassinated, provoking a communist coup in Afghanistan. And 1 year ago today, 2013, an explosion in a fertilizer plant that has been ignoring safety regulations with full complicity of the state regulators in Texas kills 15 people and injures 160 others. Birthday today are J.P. Morgan, the banker, Senor Wences, the ventriloquist, Isaac Dinson, the writer, Nikita Khrushchev, the guy who supposedly gave Ukraine Crimea, Thornton Wilder, the playwright, William Holden, the actor, Bill Clements, governor of Texas and owner of Sedco Oil, responsible for the largest oil spill in history in the Gulf of Mexico when he was governor of Texas, Cynthia Osnick and Nick Hornby, the writers. Today it's just me, Mark Mullen. Thanks again for posting on our forum. An interesting post from Sarah, and I quote, "I thought you might like to highlight the new UK visa changes. Entertainers, as in any choir or individuals hoping to come to the UK, assuming they just need sponsorship, as was required by the old business entertainment visa, will now not qualify. Artists can only now come if they're sponsored by Tier 5 approved sponsors. No existing group in the UK has this status, as it is extremely difficult and onerous to get. If they are invited to attend a festival on the approved list, which only has 24 festivals on it thus far. These new regulations came in on March 14th, 2014, and are being adjusted all the time, with the latest changes coming in April 10th. There's a website that you can see on the forum for last week's show. This is already having a huge impact on the cultural events planned for the UK for visiting Georgian artists, and does not look to be getting better anytime soon," end quote. Thank you very much, Sarah. The UK has a proud history of bringing a lot of Georgian singers and performers and moving them around. This, like all ridiculous visa restrictions throughout the Schengen area in the United States and other wealthy countries, and hopefully not Georgia, we'll talk about that a little bit later, only serves the purpose of making it difficult for people to do interesting and worthwhile things. Let's hope they get that straightened out. The conservative government has been talking about all sorts of immigration reforms, and this is part of it, but actually what they've done hasn't really done very much, nor has it really significantly decreased immigration to the UK, from what I've heard. If you'd like to comment on the blog or ask a question, go to tbilpod.com or send us an email at tbilpod, T-B-L-P-O-D, at gmail.com. Tbilpod.com now has its very own database, which has resources for non-natives living in Tbilisi. We will try to keep it updated, but if you have new resources, you can post them on our forum, and we'll update the categories. Even the most seasoned veterans will learn a few new things. Check it out at www.tbilpod.com/database, or look in the upper right-hand corner on the website. The government introduced a moratorium on prosecuting former UNM officials out of fear that it may restrict democratic rights. Kharibashvili called on law enforcement bodies to avoid, quote, avoid restricting the lawful rights of people participating in the local election campaign, end quote. It's not clear exactly what the moratorium will mean or what branches of the state will be covered by it or anything else, really, but let's see what that means. Prosecutor's office officially charged UNM Member of Parliament Roland Achalaya with abuse of power during his time as prosecutor and informer. Capo di Toto Capos in all of Samegrelo. He's charged with demanding $90,000 from a defendant in December 2009 in exchange for a plea bargain agreement. If found guilty, Achalaya could face up to 3 years in jail. As a reminder, Roland is the father of Bacho and Data Achalaya. The investigative department of the finance ministry brought charges against Shalva Kiladze, who's the father-in-law of former mayor of Tbilisi, Gigi Ugulava. He's charged with illegal entrepreneurial activities. According to the investigation, Kiladze owns 50% of the company Mani, which is registered in his wife's name. The company from 2006 to 2011 was getting gypsum from near Gardabani. The investigation claims Kiladze illegally obtained gypsum outside the licensed area and got nearly 140,000 lari in illegal income. Kiladze faces between 3 to 5 years in jail if convicted. Later, Ugulava was questioned as a witness about the activities of the company City Park, which regulates parking spaces and permits in Tbilisi. Ugulava said that the questions mainly referred to accounting and financial details that he says he does not know. UNM named Temo Basalaya as its mayoral candidate in Zugdidi. He formerly worked in the Sacrobulo. Tengiz Gunava is UNM's candidate for Tbilisi Zugdidi Gamgibeli. Gunava, ex-chief of police of Samegrelo, served as governor of the region under the previous government. He was convicted of shooting two people in the foot, his driver and former chair of the police special operations department in Sfaneti. Misha pardoned him before leaving the presidency. Batumi UNM Sacrobulo member Gio Diasamidze will run for Batumi mayor. As a reminder, local elections are on the 15th of June. New Rights and Free Georgia, two non-parliamentary opposition parties named Kaja Kukava as their candidate for Tbilisi mayor. Kukava, who's now a member of the Tbilisi Sacrobulo, was part of the Conservative Party before launching his Free Georgia Party in 2010. On the 14th of April, Prime Minister Kharabashvili introduced Elguja Korkishvili as the new infrastructure minister. Korkishvili has a PhD in economic and social sciences from the University of Potsdam. He was formerly the head of the Municipal Development Fund and the head of the Caucasus Institute Board. He's also a lecturer at Ilia University. As a reminder, former minister Dato Narmania stepped down in order to run for Tbilisi mayor in the upcoming local elections. Interestingly, it's the Germans that have set up the whole tendering and public procurement process, and it all seems to be economic ministers with German connections. That means that the Germans and GTZ or GIZ, what it is now, have strong connections with the ministry, which is certainly a good thing. Narmania speaks German and I think was German educated, if I'm not mistaken. On the 15th of April, three members of TV3 crew were detained in the South Ossetian administrative boundary line. Russian forces detained a reporter, cameraman, and a broadcast technician close to the village of Adzvi. The TV crew was reporting on Russian incursions into Georgian-controlled areas. Gyla sued Russia in the European Court of Human Rights on behalf of 19 people living along the South Ossetian ABL. The case is about the village of Dvani, where 50 families lost agricultural land where Russian soldiers installed between 400 and 600 meters of barbed wire. On the 10th of April, a Russian plane briefly flew into Georgian airspace over the village Khurcha. Locals say the plane returned to Russian territory after about 10 minutes. Deputy Foreign Minister David Zalikiani said the government will study what happened and inform international organizations. The plane was a Soviet-era agricultural utility vehicle called an Antonov An-2. The government will assist locals living near the Abkhaz and South Ossetian ABLs. Natural gas will be provided free of charge to 40 villages in this area by the end of October 2014. The government will also cover the study costs of over 400 students from those villages. On the 13th of April, a group of NGOs set up a concert in Tbilisi in support of Georgia's integration with the EU. The concert was called We Want Europe. The organizer of the event was Civil Society Forum National Platform, an umbrella organization uniting more than 100 NGOs, including the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, TI Georgia. A number of people spoke, including President Georgi Margvelashvili. At the very same time, a group of United National Movement affiliated individuals held an anti-Russia rally arranged by Nikusha Rudua in front with a front organization called Iveria. They demanded that organizations be banned from cooperating with Russia and that it be made a crime to publicly deny that Russia is an aggressor. Grigol, not that that contradicts the Constitution at all. Grigol Vashadze was there. They demanded a prohibition on the public display of Russian symbols, controls over the processes of Georgians getting Russian citizenship, and a prohibition on broadcasting Russian TV channels in Georgia. So, here's the backstory. The NGOs got approval from all political parties, including the UNM, not to hold anything competing during this time. Part of the plan was with the We Want Europe event, was that there would be videos made of people from all parts of the political spectrum, cultural figures, and everybody else saying that Georgia's future is with Europe. Great idea. But Kukava said he also wanted to make a video, although he has traveled to Moscow and has in the past been anti-Europe and pro-Russia, but he says he changed his mind, and fine, that was it. A bunch of UNM people got their knickers in a twist about this, and so they said they were going to set up a protest. What is happening is that the UNM isn't really so popular and feels very strongly that it needs to be the guardian and gatekeeper of Georgia's European future, and they want sign-off on anybody else promoting a Western orientation. Because if they don't control that, what do they control? But most of all, this showed the deep pettiness of these people. Tabula TV was very divisive in the whole drama. I would highly encourage all of these people to take a step back and realize that at this crucial time, Georgia needs real opposition. And they should be gathering allies rather than trying to push people, including potential allies, around. That was a bad idea when they were in power, and it's a bad idea now. Speaking of the West, Georgia will host the NATO Parliamentary Assembly in the 2017 spring session. The assessment committee will arrive in Georgia to examine the local infrastructure for hosting the delegation, which is expected to include more than 800 individuals. At the spring session, various committees hold one-day meetings to consider reports and meet with government officials and policy experts. The Justice Ministry, Interior Ministry, and Foreign Ministry produced a question-and-answer document about the new visa law, which takes effect on the 1st of September 2014. We'll post the link on the forum. It is a 25-page printable PDF. I highly recommend all long-term experts in Georgia to get it and read it. There are substantial changes that everybody needs to be aware of, and it goes over fairly clearly. The Ministry of Infrastructure is going to build a shelter for homeless that will house up to 240 people. The homeless will have the opportunity to stay in the shelter 24 hours a day. The facility will be equipped with kitchens, medical center, and bathrooms. Shelter users will have the opportunity to take training courses and develop professional skills. 2 million lari from the state budget will be allocated for this initiative. New treatment center for tuberculosis is opened in Tbilisi. The clinic has 17 beds and is located in Khudalovi district. The health minister, Dato Serganenko, said that the clinic will cost 50,000 lari per month to run. They spent 22 million lari to make it. Agricultural University said that the government intends to seize 400,000 lari from the university. As a reminder, Kaja Bendukidze's Foundation for Education purchased the university from the government in 2012. For $5.2 million, provided that Bendukidze invest 8 million lari. The foundation put up 400,000 lari as a guarantee in case they did not fulfill this agreement. Bendukidze invested 11 million lari, fulfilling the agreement, and asked that the government return the 400,000 lari guarantee. On the 14th of April, the university received a letter in which the economy ministry demanded that the term of the 400,000 lari guarantee be extended, or they threatened to seize the entire amount. The Constitutional Court decided that the Georgian public broadcaster cannot fire members of the board before the end of their term. Parliament passed an amendment which gave them the power to dismiss the board. However, the board members that were elected under UNM appealed to the court and won. The Parliament cannot fire members of the board before their term expires. According to the Civil Society Forum of the Eastern Partnership Survey, Georgia has the highest degree of media freedom among the Eastern Partnership countries. A survey which covered the period from October to December last year assessed the level of freedom of speech and not the quality of journalism in partner countries. Moldova ranked second on the list, followed by Armenia, Ukraine, and Azerbaijan. Belarus was the lowest. The Eurasia Foundation is recruiting a chief of party for an upcoming civil society program in Georgia. For more information, check out their career page on eurasia.org. Georgia will chair the World Wine Trade Group for the next 12 months. The informal group of government and industry reps from wine-producing countries has representatives from Australia, Canada, New Zealand, the U.S., and South Africa. On the 14th of April, Georgia celebrated Deda Ana Day, or Mother Tongue Day. As a reminder, the Constitution adopted in 1978 deprived Georgian of its state language status. Approximately 100,000 people assembled on the 14th of April, 1978, on Rustavelli Avenue and demanded that Georgian remain the official language. As a result of strong opposition, the government kept Georgian as a state language. Parliamentary news. The government submitted to Parliament a draft of the anti-discrimination law. The draft protects against discrimination on the basis of race, color, language, gender, age, citizenship, native identity, birth, place of residence, property, social status, religion, ethnic affiliation, profession, family status, health condition, disability, sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, or beliefs, political or otherwise. Georgian Young Lawyers said that the government proposed bill is a watered-down version of the original document drafted by the Ministry of Justice with the active involvement of NGOs. The initial version envisioned the establishment of a new institution, the Inspector for Protection of Equality. In the current draft, this function will be under the competence of the Public Defender's Office. However, unlike the proposed draft, the initial one called for fines for violations of the anti-discrimination law. There are no fines in the current draft. Young Lawyers, or GILA, believes that this is of special concern since there's no preventative mechanism. As a reminder, adopting this law is a requirement for Georgia under the auspices of the Visa Liberalization Action Plan in order to gain short-term visa-free access to the EU. The Parliament adopted amendments to the law on free trade and competition. As a result, an independent structure called the Competition Agency will soon be established to oversee the market. Amendments define fines for violating the competition legislation. A fine can be as much as 5% of the company's annual turnover during the previous financial year. If a company fails to remedy the violation, the agency can impose a fine of up to 10% of the previous year's annual turnover. The chairman of the agency will be approved by the prime minister. As a reminder, the EU encouraged Georgia to set up a state competition entity, which they reluctantly did, that was glommed onto another state entity, was never funded, and was led by a very young woman who on Facebook was a member of the Ayn Rand fan club. It never did anything because it was supposed to not do anything, because collusion among the state and its allies in business was such an epidemic on the later UNM period. Let's hope that this new entity does something. That will be important to watch. In Kvitis Azrebi this week, the poet Ratia Maklobeli talks about his Georgian teacher Gvansa and underlines the importance of teachers, especially instructors of Georgian language and literature. Maklobeli says that we imitate not only our parents and environment, but also our teachers. According to him, Georgia should make a breakthrough in education, which requires not only political speculations, but long-term strategies. The meme this week is very sad. It's about garbage on the road. The video shows garbage near the very popular destination of Mscheta. The road between Tsismauri and Jvari Monastery is littered with plastic bags, bottles, and food. Stuff to read, an article on CRRC's blog about happiness in Georgia. According to the 2013 caucuses barometer, in Georgia, people with higher incomes are also more likely to say that they are happy. Georgians living in urban areas are more likely to consider themselves happy than those living in rural areas. Marital status is another important factor related to happiness. Georgian widows, widowers, separated and divorced report being unhappy more than twice as frequently as Georgians who are married, cohabitating, or who were never married. An article on The Telegraph where famous singer Katie Melua reveals her favorite hotels, bars, and restaurants in Tbilisi. Melua also gives advice for first-time visitors. You can find out what to avoid and what to take home from Georgia. One thing to listen to, Bill Nye speaking with a researcher about bacteria and bacterial phages in a Science Friday podcast. Nye references Georgia's Phage Therapy Center, which is one of the leading centers of phage research during the Soviet Union and is today. All these things to read will be posted on our forum. Geocapital number this week is 36, which is the percentage of Georgians who claim to have at least beginner knowledge of English, according to the 2013 Caucasus Barometer. Compared to the regions, in Azerbaijan it's 24%, in Armenia 37% of respondents claim to have at least beginner knowledge of English. The percentage of individuals that claim to speak at least beginner-level Russian is highest in Armenia with 97, followed by Georgia with 91. Last is Azerbaijan with 73%. This week's English language movies at the Roosevelt Movie Theater across from Parliament is on Saturday, the 19th of April, and Wednesday, the 23rd of April, Captain America, the Winter Soldier at 8 p.m. Dom Kino, Friday the 18th, is Ponyo on the Cliff by the Sea, beautiful cartoon. Saturday the 19th of April is Kiki's Delivery Service. Sunday the 20th of April is My Neighbor Totoro. All movies are at 7 p.m. TI Georgia relaunched the really cool website beyondtbilisi.ge. The site offers short Twitter-like updates on what's going on in the region, in addition to traditional news articles. If you're looking for information on what's going on in the regions, check out this website and follow them on Twitter. It's really worth it. For those of you in New York or nearby, out on the east end of Long Island, Noe Jordania's son, Recep Jordania, is giving a talk about his new book, Building the Ukbar Dinghy, with the stitch and glue technique on Saturday, the 3rd of May, from 1 to 2:30 p.m. at the East Hampton Library, 159 Main Street, East Hampton, New York. If you're in Atlanta, Georgia, Discover Georgia and the American Friends of Georgia are hosting the Georgian Cultural Festival on Saturday, the 10th of May, from 2 to 7 p.m. at John Howell Park. For more information, check out egatl.com. Once again, get your pen ready. That is Echo Golf Alpha Tango Lima.com, EGATL.com. For folks in DC, as of today, there is a new place to get Khajapuri called Compass Rose Bar and Kitchen. The restaurant was inspired by Rose Previte's travels abroad. She says, quote, "Everywhere we went, David and I always said some of our best memories were strolling neighborhoods and experiencing the place through its food. The former Soviet Republic of Georgia, I knew little about it 5 years ago. Now I know it's one of the friendliest, most interesting countries on earth, and when I think about it, I can literally smell and taste the khajapuri, the cheese bread sold everywhere, often by ladies who pop their heads out of the windows of their bakeries and give you a taste. That's one of our features at Compass Rose," end quote. The address is 1346 T Street Northwest, which is just at 14th Street in the very hip U Street neighborhood. Definitely check this place out and let us know what you think. Camp.ge is a Georgian webpage about camping. It offers information on tours. You should check out their information about the 100 must-see places in Georgia. Unfortunately, it's only in Georgian. You can contact them on Facebook and arrange a tour. We'll post the page on our forum. The next Works in Progress is on the 23rd of April at 6:15. Kendra Diaz from Central European University will present Linguistic Dimensions to Ethno-National Identity, the Avars of Contemporary Dagestan, in their very interesting language that has 88 consonants and only one vowel. The address is 3 Kavsadze Street in Vake. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. Our email address is tevealpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website at www.tevealpod.com. And with a doff of the hat to Matthias Hooter, we will finish with 1969, Marlena Shaw's California Soul.
Like a sound you hear that lingers in your ear, but you can't forget. From sundown to sunset, nah. It's all in the air, you hear it everywhere. No matter what you do, it's gonna grab a hold on you. California soul. California soul. It's when the sun comes up every day. your feet and you got to move, cause it's real.